Well, good afternoon. It's good to see everybody. Well, I don't know about you, but I enjoy a good book. The problem I have is finishing the books that I start. Before I start another one, I think I have four going right now. A while ago, Lisa read a book titled Mama Bear Apologetics, Empowering Your Kids to Challenge Cultural Lies. The topic of apologetics came up recently around our dinner table. We asked our kids if they knew what it was. Theodore replied, "Apollo what now?" I asked if he knew what it was, and that's what he said. It's kind of fitting, I think, considering what the definition is. So you might be thinking to yourself at this point, "Apollo what now?" That's the title of my message, "Apollo what now?" Let's start with a definition. Christian apologetics is the practice of defending the Christian faith through reasoned arguments and evidence. Or said another way, it's having an answer. It involves providing reasoned responses to questions about our faith and explaining the hope that we have in Christ, as emphasized in 1 Peter chapter 3. The term apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means defense. It's like how a defendant in a courtroom would refute charges. So I'd like to talk today a bit more about why apologetics is important to teach our children. Much of what I'm going to talk about and discuss is focused on teaching our children, but it really applies to each and every one of us, as Scripture encourages us to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for you a reason for the hope that is in us. So let's start with a quote from MamaBearApologetics.com. Why apologetics? Why is it important? Quote, "Your kids know Scripture. They have all the fundamental beliefs memorized. They've grown up in, quote-unquote, the church. They should be safe, right? So what will they say when someone makes claims and provides, quote-unquote, evidence that Jesus never existed, or that the resurrection never happened, or that the Bible is full of errors? Suddenly, because my mom or my dad or my pastor told me, doesn't cut it. Even as early as middle school, kids have access to other voices that seek to undermine everything that you and other spiritual authorities might claim. If your child has questions or doubts, that's a good thing. Your child's questions demonstrate that they are forming their own faith. They're not just relying on your faith. They look to us to discover if there are answers to tough questions. And good news, there are answers. But sometimes it can feel overwhelming. Just remember, we don't need to know all the answers. We just need to know where to find the answers in your Bible. The issues may be settled in your own mind, but your children are still forming their beliefs about what is true and what is false. Christianity is increasingly under attack, and your children need to be able to defend their faith against those who would try to undermine it. Apologetics might not affect your faith, but it will most certainly affect your children's faith." End quote. So, you know, Lisa and I were chatting about this and talking about this, and Lisa recalls her parents making it very clear to her when she was young that this is not only their church, but this is her church, and she needed to take ownership of her beliefs and to prove all things for herself. I didn't grow up, right, in this faith. I was a Lutheran for many, many years, for about 20 years, so I didn't have that same experience myself, but I thought it was great, you know, encouraging questioning and answer and providing answers, going back to the Bible, not just because I said so, or not just because the church says so, but really knowing where to go and find the answers. Again, going back to the Bible. So we should teach our children critical thinking skills and prepare them to defend their faith. If not to others, at least to themselves. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So let's read verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And I've essentially read it twice already. So 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And do it with gentleness and do it with respect." I think that's key, right? To make a defense for a reason that for the hope that's in us with gentleness and with respect. According to Barna and USA Today, nearly 59% of youth leave the church after they graduate high school, and only 17% maintain a biblical worldview. Now, these statistics are over 8 years old. These were numbers from 2017, and I'm sure they haven't decreased, right? The numbers are only increasing. Another survey listed the most common reason for youth leaving the church as moving to college, church members seeming judgmental or hypocritical, and no longer feeling connected to the people in their church. I was really thinking about that. These are all tied to relationships and meaningful connections. Moving away to college and away from family support systems that have been in place for many years since childhood. College-age students have many opportunities to be influenced both positively and negatively by peers and professors. As kids mature, they naturally form new relationships and test boundaries. That's part of growing up, obviously. But when they see church members being hypocritical, overly judgmental, or lacking gentleness and respect, it can push kids away. And losing connections with the congregation. Do we prioritize fellowship and really getting to know each other? And do we put effort into maintaining those relationships and making these meaningful connections? When our children, or really when anyone asks us questions, it can be intimidating and scary. And we don't know, if we don't know the answer, we feel like we should. Again, it can be scary. Will our son or our daughter think less of us if we don't have the answer? This is where we need to equip ourselves to answer the questions that our children will inadvertently ask and teach them how to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So we should all be able to defend at least these five things. And I'm just going to list these five topics. There's more, but if you go back to the fundamental beliefs, we have booklets on these topics. The first thing that came to my mind is we need to know that truth exists. Not my truth, not your truth, but absolute truth does exist. We need to have that solidly in our mind. We also have to know that God exists, obviously. Right? God exists, he's involved, and he's real. We also have to know that Jesus died as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. He was resurrected, and he sits at the right hand of our Father. He's our advocate, and he's making eternal life possible for all of us. We also have to know that sin exists, and Satan is real. More and more these days, it seems like Satan is made out as this imaginary, almost caricature. Satan is real. He exists. We need to know that. And the Bible is reliable. It's the most reliable document we have. You can go back through historical evidence, archaeology, many, many ways to prove the Bible is real outside of the Bible itself. But it's real, and it's reliable. We also need to consider the role of the Holy Spirit. This isn't all just about book knowledge and about how much scripture we can memorize. When we stay close to God, he promises to give us a mouth and wisdom to answer. We find that in Luke 21. Actually, let's turn over to Luke 21. We'll read verses 12 through 15 about giving us a mouth and wisdom to answer. Luke 21, verses 12 through 15. Luke 21, starting in verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. And verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which you all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. That really speaks to me. That really is comforting to me, right? We can read our Bible and oftentimes things come to my mind. I can't name, verse and chapter, but we know it's in there. And the Holy Spirit will give us that wisdom. So that in the remaining time today, let's explore three points around defending our faith related to teaching our children. So three points around apologetics I'd like to cover. Number one, teach the truth. Teach the truth. Number two is to model faith and respect. Model faith and respect. And number three, prepare for the future. Prepare for the future. So point number one, teach the truth. We should be teaching our children the truth about God and His Word, helping them understand the evidence that supports our faith. This includes exploring the reliability of the Bible and the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And by doing so, that we can equip our children with the tools that they need to defend their faith confidently and respectfully. So a couple of verses that came to my mind around teaching the truth. Deuteronomy 6, right? Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So in all things, when we're working with our children, when we're talking with them, when we wake up until we go to bed at night, right? We should be modeling, talking through, reasoning with them, explaining our faith to them. And another topic that came to my mind is Ephesians 6, verse 4. Not provoking your children to anger. Not that I've ever not done that. Maybe I have. But fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that's teaching the truth, right? Always look for those opportunities to teach the truth. Point number two, model faith and respect. It's crucial for parents to model a faith that is both loving and truthful. We shouldn't be overly harsh, but we should be loving and truthful. This means showing respect and kindness to everyone, even when engaging in discussions about faith that could be contentious. By treating others with dignity and respect, we demonstrate that we can love people while defending the truth about God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. One verse on this topic, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Mr. Shaw's covered this a lot over the years. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So that truth in love should be our focus. And preparing for the future, point number three, we must prepare our children for the challenges that they will ultimately face in a world that often questions the validity of Christianity. By teaching them apologetics from a young age, we can help them develop critical thinking skills and the ability to articulate their faith. This preparation is essential for spiritual growth and resilience in the face of skepticism and doubt. Colossians 2, verse 8. I'll just read this one. I've got two verses on this point. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's plenty of philosophy and empty deceit out there today. And Isaiah 54, verse 13. Isaiah 54, verse 13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isn't that our ultimate goal? Right? Having peaceful children and peaceful households. As I thought more about this whole topic of apologetics, you can read so many examples in the New Testament of Jude, of Paul, of Jesus himself, sharing evidence and giving people solid reasons to believe. Jude talks about contending for the faith in Jude 3. Jude 3 says, beloved, though I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered for the saints. So Jude talks about contending for the faith. Then Paul in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, well, as his custom was, he went to them for three Sabbaths and he reasoned with them from Scripture, right? Going back to the truth, the solid truth, the Bible. He explained and demonstrated that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. And Paul said, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. So that's Acts 17, verses 2 through 3. And Jesus himself in Acts verses 1 through 3, right? He presented himself alive after his suffering to many people, showing many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Always focusing on the kingdom. Always focusing on the future. Always focusing on that hope that we have. So that's Acts 1, verse 3. And also in John 20, verses 24 through 29, Jesus showed himself to Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, showed those marks on his hands from the crucifixion when Thomas couldn't believe based on the reports of others. He provided proof. Christian apologetics is the practice of defending the Christian faith through reasoned arguments and evidence, making a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and doing so with gentleness and respect. And again, one final verse in closing from Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. Let's read that one. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It's not always what we say, but how we say it and when we say it, ensuring that we do so with gentleness and respect. We also don't want to cast our pearls before swine. So if someone is not sincerely interested, we have to understand that too and dust off the dirt from our sandals and move on. Right? Matthew 7, verse 6 talks about not casting our pearls before swine. So hopefully, no one is still thinking Apollo what now? Apologetics isn't just academic. We need to teach the truth. We need to model faith and respect. And we really need to prepare for the future. The goal is not to create debaters, but disciples who can stand firm in trials and live out the gospel with clarity and with courage. It's not about how much scripture we can memorize. It's about discipleship in action.